evening. It's good to see you. Welcome our visitors tonight. We appreciate that you're among us, and we hope that if you have questions of what we say or do, that you feel comfortable asking those questions. We'd be happy to receive them from you and study more of God's Word together if we can find the answer in the Bible, which we believe that we can. God has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through a knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and virtue. And so, through a knowledge of His Word, we have accessible, we have from God the things that we need to live life in a godly way and to live with the sure hope of heaven. And that begins by becoming a Christian. The gospel plan of salvation is not difficult to understand. Jesus made it very plain when He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned." Lack of faith will cause one to be lost. Sin is the culprit. It separates us from God, and its punishment is death eternally. But to be saved, He says, let us believe the gospel and be baptized, and we will be saved. If that's your need tonight, if you need to be saved from your sins, understand that it is God's way that has the power to remove your sin, to stand you righteous in His sight. If you'll act in faith, repenting of your sins against Him, confessing your faith, and being baptized into Christ to be saved, His blood will wash your sins away. You'll be saved by grace through faith. You will have not earned it. You will have come to God for His mercy, and He will have given it to you because of your conduct in obedient faith to His will. We hope that you'll do that tonight and become a Christian. And if you are a Christian and there's sin in your life, understand that the Scriptures teach us that when we become Christians, it's still entirely possible to turn our minds away from God and to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And so if sin has entered into your heart and into your life, we hope that you'll repent of that tonight. That you'll understand in the Word to be convicted of your sin against God and to return to Him in repentance and confession of that sin to Him, as He's promised His cleansing, 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we can help you do that at the end of our study, we certainly want to and hope that you will respond to God's call. As we announced this morning, we want to study tonight 10 ways to ruin your life in your 20s. Now, I guess since today 70 is the new 50 and 50 is the new 30, that I guess 25 is the new 15. So I guess this is going to apply to you if you're in your teens, if you're in your 30s, or if you're in your 70s. We can ruin our life at any age. But this particular title and the content, the essence of the material is I found online, and it's one of those few times when there's something on Facebook that I felt like I could use to share with you. You know, a lot of things on Facebook is just blah, blah. But I'm more on that in a minute. So, no one sits down and plans to ruin their life. I mean, do you know anybody that sat down and maybe in their teens or in their 20s said, "I'm going to ruin my life, and I'm going to become an alcoholic, and you know, I'm going to get addicted to drugs, and my intent is to ruin my life, and you know, I'm going to pile up a lot of debt because my goal is bankruptcy and being a pauper, and you know, I'm going to sit down in my 20s and I'm going to figure out ways to destroy my marriage." Who does that? Nobody does that. We don't sit down in our late teens, 20s, and even 30s and say and devise ways to ruin our lives. And yet, it happens far too often. Many lives are ruined. And it happens because of choices that are made. Although the result is not what someone would willingly choose. And yet, it is the choices that we make very often in our 20s, let me say teens and 20s, in our youth, that set the scene and set the stage for failure, for a ruined life. There are a lot of people in this world that just hate their lives. I was talking with Maury a minute ago. He commented it. I said, "I think you've given me my introduction." He said, "You know," he says, I see people every day that They just hate their lives. They hate who they are. They hate what they're doing. They hate their jobs. They hate their home. They hate their marriage. They just hate life. Well, God doesn't want that of His people. He tells the young man here to enjoy your youth. Enjoy life. Understand its responsibilities. But He tells him how to be able to do that. God gave us life as a blessing. And yet there's so many people out there who have made choices that bring them to a moment in their life that they say, I hate my life. And so we see all types of struggles about that, and some ending so tragically in suicide or murder suicides and just the total destruction of themselves and the people around them. Now, I want to talk to young people especially tonight, though, in this lesson, because many of the life-defining choices for your life are made early in your life. And we know that for all of us. We made some, in our early years, we made choices that affected us and will affect us the rest of our lives. Very often it's in youth that we make a faith decision. We make a decision, hopefully, to become a Christian. That ought to be a life-defining moment. It's not something you do just because somebody, your parents want you to, or other friends are doing it. But it ought to be a faith, a life-defining moment to become a Christian. And Lord willing, that will happen early in life, but be the consistent decision and line and pattern of your life. We make other decisions too early in our life. We make educational decisions. Will I go to college? Will I go to trade school? Will I not have any other education? Will I go right into developing a career? These are life-defining decisions I wish somehow or another we could just kind of stop time and wait until we get to be about 30 and then start making some of those decisions instead of making them, you know, when you're 18, 20. You know, wouldn't that be great? Have the experience, you know, and then come go back and make those decisions. Now, I know when you're 15, 17, 18, you're wondering, what in the world is he talking about? I know exactly what I want to do. I know exactly what I want to be. I've got all that down. Well, probably not, but you may think you do. So, you know, marriage is a decision that, you know, it seems like a generation ago that decision was being made earlier than it is now. Commonly, and yet still in the 20s, in your 20s, people are making decisions of marriage that ought to be life-defining and life-enduring because of the distorted views of marriage these days. It's often entered into not as a lifelong commitment, and nevertheless, it is going to be a life-defining decision for better or for worse. Early in our lives, we begin to set the priorities of our lives, of ourself, defining our character, defining the type of person we will be. And if we begin to make wrong choices, sometimes those wrong choices can begin to snowball and with disastrous consequences. And so what goes wrong? How can you avoid making those mistakes? Hopefully this lesson is going to help you if you're in your teens or 20s, 30s, to avoid some mistakes, some wrong choices, some things that can head to ruin, not just now, but eternally. Ecclesiastes 11:9 says, "Rejoice, O man, in your youth." See, this is a positive declaration. God wants you to be happy in your youth. So enjoy being young, but he says, do that. Live life fully in your youth. But understand that you live before God. That's what you need to remember in your teens, in your 20s. You live before God, and He will bring you into judgment. And more on that in a minute. But you see, God wants you to enjoy your youth. This is not a lesson to say, oh, I've got to hate my youth if I'm going to do what God wants. No. God says you can rejoice in your youth and all the advantages and opportunities that come along with it as you choose to recognize God in your youth. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart, put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. You are not getting younger. You see, childhood and youth ultimately are vanity because they pass away. We grow older. So what you need to do in your youth, in your teens and in your 20s, is to remove those things from your heart that would cause sorrow, that would lead to ruin, lead to spiritual ruin, lead to emotional ruin, lead to physical ruin. Put away evil from your flesh, from your life. Understand that if you simply indulge your youth in the things that are destructive, you will pay a price. And it will be a price you don't want to pay. So instead, remove those things that produce sorrow. And remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Keep God before you. Make Him the priority of your life. Do it now, he says, before the difficult days come. Why do you think people talk about the good old days? Say, oh, for the good old days. Well, back then when we didn't have the responsibility we have now, we don't have the pressure we have now, we don't have all the expectations we have now, before the difficult days come. And he's talking also about the fact that when we get older, life becomes just generally more difficult. There are the aches, there's the pains, there's the health considerations and the health deterioration, as he'll go on to describe in Ecclesiastes 12. Remember God now before you set a pattern, a course, when you get to a point in life where you have no pleasure in life and you have no pleasure in God, and you could even start to blame God rather than rely upon God.
God, this is God's plan of success. Rejoice in your youth, remove sorrow from your heart, and remember God, your Creator, while you're young. That's His plan for success at any age, but particularly in youth, as you set a course of your life on the earth, your life under the sun, as the book of Ecclesiastes discusses. Now, as I said before, once in a while Facebook has something notable to share, and I found this, or it was sent to me just this past week. 10 Ways to Ruin Your Life in Your 20s. A man named Jonathan Pakluda wrote it. He evidently is with a evangelical church in Dallas, and he operates a youth ministry, and this was some writing that he did. What he has to say is worth hearing because it is Bible-based, and we're going to see that as we go through this. So here's some ways if you really want to sit down and ruin your life, do these things. Now, if you don't want to ruin your life, then learn from these things and avoid these things and make your decision now in your youth, in your teens, and in your 20s. Decide this is not the course you're going to take. But if you want to ruin your life, then believe that ideas do not have consequences. He said that's probably the biggest lie that he believed when he was young, was that I could do whatever I want to and get away with it. Isn't that kind of how the temptation of when you're in your 20s, when you're teens and 20s? You're bulletproof. You do whatever you want. No consequences. You can get away with it. That's not true. That's not true. But if you want to ruin your life, then live your life thinking that you have no consequences and you can do whatever you want and it'll have no impact. You can get away with it. There won't be any trouble in your life because you're young. In Genesis 2, you remember in 16 and 17, God commanded Adam he could eat of all the trees of the garden, except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that ye eat thereof, you will surely die. And when Eve was tempted in chapter 3 and verse 6, you know that the devil tempts her, and he impugns the integrity of God, and he lies about God, and he's the father of lies, and he tempts her. But notice that she had an idea. she began to think that, well, you know, she's looking at that tree, and that tree, man, it looks good for food. And it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was desirous to be to make her wise. She had some ideas. And so she gave in to the temptation, and she ate the fruit. Of course, she sinned against God, and she lost everything then. She was banished from the garden. She's separated from God. She dies physically. Her pain in childbirth increases. She becomes a sinner, as does Adam when he eats. See, her ideas led to actions that had consequences. If you want to ruin your life, then live like you can do whatever you want and it has no impact. This author wrote, "Sin truly does rob us of life, fooling us into thinking we are living life to the fullest. Sin, any sin, turns family into an obligation, turns our relationships into burdensome commitments, and turns friendships into strategic conversations and empty laughter. Sin turns your career into work, turns memories into blurry visions, and turns the beautiful into the ordinary." Now, a wide range of sins no doubt underlie what he says. You know, sins of lying and gossip turn friendships into strategic conversations. What did I say to this person? And what did I say to that person? And rather than be fully engaged with joy and togetherness, emptiness takes its place. Sin does that. Sin destroys relationships of friendship and family and work and the church. Sin has consequences. Lies bring consequences. You choose to be promiscuous. Sleep around. You're going to have consequences. You're going to emotionally impact yourself in ways you never dreamed of to begin with. Not to mention your spiritual life is destroyed with God in your sin. But you're going to carry that for the rest of your life. Even if you are forgiven of it, you've impacted yourself in a way that you didn't think about at the time. And yet sin brings consequences. If you choose now in your 20s to be lazy, games, I don't know, video games, whatever, you know, got to play these games all the time. You consume yourself with laziness, and what are you going to have down the road? You're going to learn to have a work ethic? You're going to know how to work hard and for success? Or are you going to live dependent on others? See, you're making a decision right now in your youth. But if you think, I can do whatever I want, it has no... Yes, it does have consequences. If you are untrustworthy now, you're setting a stage that as you grow older, people will not depend upon you. You will not be dependable. You see? Now, you don't have to do that. But you're in the process of becoming what you will be one day. You're not there yet in your 20s. Now, I know, again... A lot of guys, people in 20 think they've already arrived and they know it all. You know, but you don't. And you certainly haven't experienced it all. You're in the process of becoming who you will be one day. Now, you can be a great Christian. You can be a great father, a great mother, a great husband, a great wife. You can have a great career. You can have a great reputation. You can have a strong faith. Or you can have the opposite. If you choose to think that you can live however you want, and it doesn't matter, then it won't be so great. That's the way to ruin your life. Now look what Proverbs says about it. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Don't believe everything. Don't believe it when your friend says, "Oh, we'll have fun. Nobody will get hurt. Oh, come on, join us. Nobody will get caught. You won't have to face any consequences." You know, evil loves companions to join it in evil. And the simple-minded believes everything. But the prudent, the wise, gives thoughts to his steps.
in your 20s, in your teens, in your 20s, think about where you're going. Think about where you're walking. Think about who you're going with and what you're doing when you get there. Don't ruin your life thinking that what you do has no consequences. Number two, you want to ruin your life in your 20s? Live outside your means. Pile up debt, and you will be on a course of ruining your life. Now, Solomon was a rich man in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 10, but he said, "Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor." Now, we can get that attitude when we're not so rich like Solomon. I want something, I get it. You know, and if you're not careful in your teens and in your 20s, when you start having some spending money, you can pile up a lot of debt. You can begin to live outside your means. And that's going to bring you into trouble. It's going to bring you into ruin. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10 says, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. He who loves abundance with increase. Nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity." Yeah, it really gets down to a matter of what we love. The love of money, the love of things, the love of materialism. That leads us to live beyond our capability. If you want to ruin your life, then do that. See, when you spend more than you can afford, you still have to pay for it, plus interest. And compound interest, or that, and revolving interest, that really gets to you. You know, so good times now may mean bad times of debt later. Think about it. And realize that none of us can live beyond our means for long. Our government's about to learn that. Already learned. I don't know if it's learning it, but it's experiencing it. Habakkuk 2, 6 and 7. Here's a statement about Babylon the Great. Babylon the powerful. Babylon the evil nation. God was about to bring it to punishment for its sins. But look, will not all these take up a proverb against him? And that is against Babylon. And a taunting riddle against him and say, "Woe to him who increases what is not his. How long? And to him who loads himself with many pledges. Will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you? And you will become their booty." If you amass debt by living outside your means, then you begin to live at the mercy of others. In fact, you become a slave. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. If you want to ruin your life, spend more than you have. Do it often enough, and you're going to find yourself in a financial mess that can ruin your life. Now, you say, but money doesn't matter. Well, we're to be stewards of what we have. These are blessings from God. God has put a blessing into our hand, and we need to take care and be careful stewards, not squanderers. If you want to ruin your life, then live outside your means. Here's the third way to ruin your life in your 20s, and that's feed an addiction. Feed an addiction. Now, you know, our governments of some states, like our glorious Washington, has made it easy for young people to feed their addiction. Go and buy some marijuana and keep feeding it. Feed the addiction. Of course, there's also cigarettes. There's also alcohol. There's a wide range of addiction. There's prescription drugs that people get addicted to. There's all other kinds of drugs that people can get addicted to. A lot of people get addicted to sex. Pornography is raging in our country, from the movie screen to the internet. And not just men. You know, about 20 to 25% of women surveyed say they have a problem with internet pornography. Don't be deceived that the only ones who have a problem with pornography are men. Men and women. You say, well, you know, when I use the word addiction, I'm not talking about something beyond our control. No, addiction occurs through repeated choice.
that we repeatedly choose to do. Of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought into bondage, 2 Peter 2:19 says. And again, look at what Jesus said in John 8:34. He who commits sin is the bondservant of sin. So it's something we commit, it's something we choose. Now one may have a propensity to it, but you know, the idea of alcoholism being a disease, well, it's a self-imposed disease because who you have to choose to take the first drink, don't you? No one opened your gullet and poured it down. You chose to drink it. No one forced the joint in your mouth and lit it up for you, or the bong in your mouth and said, smoke this. You chose it. You want to ruin your life? You want to become an addict, controlled by a substance, controlled every day by an overwhelming need for something to ingest in your body that harms you? Feed that addiction and you will ruin your life. And you don't need to look very far to see the ruin. You need to open your eyes and see it. There is a culture of addiction, of marijuana smoking, as if it's no big deal, as if it has no effect, no consequences. It is a gateway to negligence, apathy, irresponsibility, destruction in your life. And politicians think it's a way to make money, so they make it legal. Parents think it's, I don't know what parents are thinking these days. Young people aren't thinking. They're just experiencing. They're getting high and thinking it's good. See how that ties together? I can do what I want and have no consequences. I can have an addiction. And that's what life's all about. That's when I'm happiest, is when I'm free of any responsibility. When I'm juiced up on marijuana. Or alcohol. Or both. Addiction brings death. It brings spiritual death. And often it brings physical death. Besides killing relationships, in families, in churches, in society, it kills your freedom. You are a slave to that addiction. You're the slave. Don't think you're the one that gets the benefit. No, you are the slave. You have no joy. Don't tell me you have joy. There's no joy in that kind of life. As I said, addiction, it occurs through repetitive choice. And you need to change. You need to stop now. If you're feeding an addiction right now, maybe it's internet pornography. You need to stop it now. Maybe it's marijuana. Maybe it's cigarette smoking. You need to stop feeding the addiction. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe you and your friends gamble on ball games or play cards and gamble. You need to stop the addiction now. Stop the choices. Stop being controlled by the sin that destroys your soul and destroys your relationships, destroys your life. Don't say one last time. No. Anytime we say one last time, just this one last time, then you're not committed yet to ending anything, are you? See, you want to ruin your life, feed an addiction. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. You're trapped until you stop feeding the evil desire. Repent. Change your heart. Go through the difficult work of removing the addicting substance and removing yourself from it and setting a new way of life. Unless you want to ruin your life. Unless you really think you've got all the answers and that's what life's all about. And if that's the way you think, I feel sorry for you. Because Jesus died to save you, and you're headed straight to hell, not to mention a ruinous life here, if that's the way you think.
You want to ruin your life in your 20s? Run with fools. And let me back this up to teenagers and push it ahead to 30s and 40s too. For that matter, 60s and 70s. Run with fools and you will ruin your life. Proverbs 4, the father speaks to his son about such matters. Proverbs 4, and beginning in verse 14, he says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Pass on. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they've done evil, and they sleep. Their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." He says, don't go with the evil people. Turn away from them. Look at chapter 14 and 7 of Proverbs. "Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge." Listen to the people you're running with. Listen to them. Are they speaking foolishness? Or are they wise? Do they have the wisdom of God on their lips? Or the foolishness of the devil? "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. Awake to soberness righteously and do not sin, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." You ought to be ashamed of running with fools, of thinking you can run with fools and it not impact you and turn you into a fool.
You become what you hang around. You become what you hang around with and the people you hang around with. Someone said, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Think about the five people you spend the most time with. What does that say about who you are? What kind of a person does that make you or me? You see, if you hang around with the faithless, is that going to help you be more faithful? Or would you be better served to hang around with the faithful? What about hanging around with the idiots or the wise, the foolish? Yeah, idiots. They have no knowledge of God, no respect for wisdom of God. That's idiocy. You hang around with the addicts or the sober-minded? What crowd are you choosing to be a part of at school? Who are your friends at work? Who is it that you spend your time with? People who honor God, love righteousness? Or is it otherwise? Don't run with fools. Are you with the criminals or those who respect others? Don't think Christians can't run with criminals and become criminals. They can. They have. You see, Proverbs says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." He comes to ruin. He ruins his life. Walk with those who are wise, and you have a source to help you become wise. Here's the fifth way to ruin your life in your 20s. Carelessly give your heart away. Just carelessly give your heart away. Proverbs 20 and 25 says, "It is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy and afterward to reconsider his vows." I did this once. Let me just share with you a personal story. And I was about 15, 16. And I foolishly got a girl a promise ring. That's about the most foolish thing I know of, is a promise ring. I didn't think so then. My parents did. They knew it was. I didn't. They knew. I see their wisdom now. I didn't then. You give your heart away. But you know what? Only one totally committed to protecting your heart will not break it or sin against it. Who are you going to give your heart to? Someone who cherishes you as much as they do themselves, as much as they do God? If you give your heart to somebody who is careless with it, be ready for heartbreak. And that doesn't feel good. It didn't feel good. But I learned from it. Maybe you did too in your life. Surely I would stand alone in that matter. You see, you give your heart away once when you get married. Can't your marriage give your heart away? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. You want to preserve your life and not ruin it? Then be careful with your heart. Give it to the one that you intend to live with for the rest of your life, and who is just as committed to you and to your heart as you are to their heart. If you want to ruin your life, then just act as if the heart doesn't matter. And before long, you know what? Your heart won't matter that much. And other people's heart won't matter either. And you end up becoming used and a user. And that's a terrible way to live. That's not a happy life. By the way, be careful what entertains your heart. There's a lot of ungodliness out there that people find entertainment with that perverts, corrupts the heart, distorts the heart. Be careful what fills your heart and what your heart seeks after. Who and what your heart loves. You see, when we talk about your heart, you're talking about those things that are the essence of who you are and what you value, what you hold dear. You want to ruin your life? Give your heart away without any care, without any consideration of who's getting it, who's holding your heart in their hand. And you're likely to have trouble. Above all, guard your heart, Proverbs says. For everything you do flows from it. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart. Don't carelessly give it away. Give it to the one that you're going to give yourself to for the rest of your life, and they're giving themselves to you for the rest of their life. An enduring lifelong marriage, then you're in a context of protection, of security, of safety, of success, not failure. You want to ruin your life in your 20s? Tolerate evil. Tolerate evil. We live in a day that says you cannot judge. You must tolerate. You must accept everything. You have to accept whatever anybody wants. Now, the latest thing, I suppose, seems to be the transgenderism. And you've just got to accept that boy who thinks he's a girl and wants to use the girl's bathroom at school. You just got to let that happen. You just got to tolerate that. And not just tolerate. You got to be welcoming of it. You want to ruin your life? You want to ruin society? Tolerate evil. And you're on that road. Ephesians 5, 5 through 7 warns about this. He says, don't be deceived. This is a verse that we talked about a little bit this morning. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words. He says, you know that no fornicator, nor covetous man, or unclean person who's an idolater, unclean person or covetous man who's an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, those who do these things. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And then verse 11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Don't have fellowship with them. Don't run with them to the same excess of sin. Don't tolerate evil. Set godly standards. I read the other day that it's not what you preach, it's what you tolerate that counts. What do you tolerate? You may say you're a Christian, but what do you tolerate? You may say you love God, but what do you tolerate in your life? What do you allow and say nothing against and reprove and rebuke and refuse? Do you abstain from the sin or do you draw it in? Ruin your life, tolerate evil. Evil is actively trying to destroy you. Do you get it in your 20s and your teens? Evil wants to ruin your life. You have to oppose it.
you have to reject it. God doesn't tolerate sin. He doesn't tolerate evil. His Son died because of evil, to save us from evil. So, to prevent ruining your life through a toleration of evil, fear the Lord. Because to fear the Lord is to hate evil. See? Someone says, oh, I love God, and there's no way that I can say that that fellow over there is sinning, that's sin, that transgendered fellow, or that lesbian, or that homosexual, that's just what they choose, and it's okay. That's who they are. No, sir. God says it's sin. Don't be deceived. 1 Corinthians 6:10-11. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Be disgusted at evil. Despise evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. You want to ruin your life? Then tolerate pride and arrogance. Develop it yourself. Because then you have power over people. You want to ruin your life? Then behave in sinful ways and speak perversely. Speak with the filth of the world. I tell you what, brethren, you have to really monitor the entertainment these days, because the language that is on TV and in movies is outrageous. It's filtering down more and more. At work, I'm sure you hear it at work. Much. Much more than you want. Even probably if there's policies against it. Yeah. Tolerate it? Do we tolerate it? Do we find ourselves falling into it? Or do we hate it? And make concrete steps not to be a part of it. You want to ruin your life in your 20s? Make secondary things ultimate, and ultimate things secondary. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Jesus said. This is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole of man. But you see, so very often in youth, the things that are secondary are made the most important things, and vice versa. So let me ask you a question, 20-something. If a stranger observed how you spend your time and your resources, what would he say your life is about? And this doesn't just apply to 20-somethings or teens. Any age. Someone was to look at how you live your life, where you spend your time, what you spend your time on, what you spend your resources on, what would they say your life is all about? Would it be about making money? Would he say, oh, I know what his or her life's about. It's about looking good. I know what their life's all about. It's about playing video games and internet games. Oh, no, I know what it's about. Fantasy football. It's about the Seahawks. Sorry. Can't be about the Cowboys, I tell you that. Inside joke, okay. Would they say, well, that person's life is about worshiping God? Or would they say, that person's life is about worshiping the 60-inch HD TV? What would they say? Now, here's the kicker. What does God say? Because God's observing us all the time. What do you say? Does he say that we're living our life about ourselves or about others? You know, God calls us to live a life of balance with godly priorities. Proverbs 25 and verse 16 says, have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit. Eat what you need. Don't gorge yourself, lest you throw up. Luke 10:42. You remember when Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and Martha, she was She was so concerned because Mary wasn't helping her clean the dishes and serve the people. She was listening to Jesus of all things. And Jesus said, she has chosen the good part that shall not be taken away from her. We need to choose the good thing that's not going to be taken away. We need to make primary things first in our life. And those other things secondary and down the line. We need to seek God first. We need to fear God first. Obey Him first. You want to ruin your life, though, don't do that. No. Make the secondary things first place. And you will, as time goes by, live an unbalanced, ruinous life. Proverbs 38:9 says, remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Just give me what I need. Don't give me riches. Don't turn me into a pauper. Don't give me poverty either. If I'm full, I'll be tempted to deny you, Lord. And if I'm poor, I'll be tempted to steal. Just give me the needs of my life, and I'll be content. Maybe that's really what that point's all about. You want to ruin your life in your 20s? Don't be content. Don't be content. But see, that's a big temptation, too, in your 20s, is to not be content. More on that in just a minute. I've got to move on here. Number 8. The way to ruin your life in your 20s, believe life is all about you. Well, after all, isn't it? Believe life is all about you. And you will ruin your life. Because I tell you, honey and fella, life's not all about you. One day you're going to realize not everybody gets a trophy in life. Right? Jesus said in Mark 10, 43 and 44, he that would be first must be the servant of all. That's the problem. As you see, we want to think that life's all about us and that we're first all the time. And yet Jesus said, you want to be first? Then you need to serve others. You need to make yourself last and be a servant of everybody else. And that comes with, that's a choice of faith that you've got to make. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We're going to sing I Surrender All at the end of this lesson. Do we? Do we surrender all? Or is it all about us? I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. You want to ruin your life? Make it all about you. And you will. You won't have a happy life. No, you'll live a demanding, expectant life. That's going to be, you know, you're one of 7 billion people on planet Earth. Now, when you look at one in 7 billion, it kind of loses its overall significance, right? Of course, in Jesus, we have great significance. We have every spiritual blessing. We're not deterring from that. But I'm talking about, how do you view yourself? If you want to ruin your life in your 20s, have a distorted view of your importance. Romans 12 and verse 3 talks about it. Now, I'm not saying you're not important. I'm saying have the right view of yourself. Paul said, I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Think about yourself in a proper way. Understanding life is not all about you. If you want to make a difference in life, a difference in this world, then live for God and live to serve others. I think Brother Sam mentioned that this morning at the table. Those who live for others, those who serve others, are those that have real value. Those are the ones that are remembered in life. Those are the ones that make a difference in life. Look at Jesus. He lived for others. He lived for us, His enemies. But if you want to ruin your life, begin thinking that you're the beginning and end of everything. And it won't go well for you. See, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And that's the epitome of that pride.
trying to help you not ruin your life in your 20s by developing the right perspective on yourself. Become a servant of God and of others, not to be served by everybody else. Number 9, you want to ruin your life in your 20s, live for immediate gratification. The me and me now. I want it yesterday. I want it now. You know, someone said nothing truly worthwhile comes quickly. Of course, in this age, that really runs afoul of the way a lot of people think. A lot of young people think. They want it all. They want it right now. 1 Corinthians 9:25, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate, exercises self-control in all things to obtain a crown. So I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. But you see, that's lost on the youth at times. I want to satisfy my desire right now. Galatians 6:9 says, "Do not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not faint." We do not lose heart. We've got to abstain from sin. You see, here's the problem. We have a microwave patience and gourmet expectations. I came up with that all by myself, Tyler. Yeah, we want the gourmet meal and we want it right now. The perfect life, the perfect job, the perfect family, the perfect home, the perfect relationship. We want it all right now. And why can't I have it? After all, my parents do. Never mind, they're 20 years older than me. Work 20 years longer. You want to ruin your life? Start expecting everything immediately. And gratifying it immediately. See, we're already into that mindset. Our society's already into it. You desire somebody sexually, satisfy it. Don't wait for marriage. Don't be pure in thought and mind. Gratify that desire. You want something? Put it on the credit card. You can't pay for it? Never mind. And pile up the debt. You see, on and on it goes. Immediate gratification. You want that joint? You want to feel good? You want to lose all your worries? Oh, come on, let's toke up tonight. They still use that term? I don't know. Smoke the bong or whatever it is. Yeah. Immediate gratification. Word of God says, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. Gulp it down. I want it now. I want a lot of it. It's mine. It belongs to me. I want it now. You live life that way and you're not going to be happy. You're going to find a point in your life and you're going to start hating yourself or others. You're not going to be a very pleasant person to be around. And that's not going to be happy for you either. Number 10, you want to ruin your life in your 20s, avoid accountability. Anytime someone tries to hold you accountable for your choices, run away from them. Discredit them, discount them, don't listen to them. Reject accountability. Remember back there in Ecclesiastes? Walk in the ways of your heart, young man, and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. God's going to hold you accountable. You cannot avoid being accountable, but you want to ruin your life? Live like you can. Avoid it. God's going to bring every work into judgment with every evil, secret thing, whether good or evil. Ecclesiastes 12 and 14. And many other verses teach the same thing. Don't run from those who hold you accountable. They're the ones who love you. You know, Jonah couldn't run from his accountability. Couldn't run from God, could he?
See, those who hold you accountable are really the ones who love you, not the ones who say, oh, your parents, and they're just so harsh. They're so, they don't love you. If they love you, they just let you be free. They just let you do whatever you want. Yeah, those parents, they don't care about you. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens and disciplines every son whom He receives. Hebrews 12:5-6. It is the parent who will hold the child accountable that loves the child. And the parent who does not hold the child accountable does not love the child. Now, the child may decide, I don't want any of that, and run away. Well, if they do, they're going to find ruin. Don't run from those who want to hold, who try to hold you accountable. Some people do that from the elders, try to run from the elders, run from their brethren. Because their brethren try to hold them accountable, try to help them be faithful to God, and talk to them about their souls, and urge them in righteous conduct. And they don't like that, and they start running. And they run from the church, run from the elders, run from discipline. You're going to ruin your life, your soul, your eternity, and as well as the here and now. If you run with those who say anything goes, you will ruin your life. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. You hate to be corrected, you show your stupidity. Now, it's not pleasant to be corrected. But here's what you do about that. You stop doing the things that require correction. You learn from the correction. And you avoid it in the future by doing what's right. Your parents don't love to correct you, but they will correct you because they love you. Now, you can run from that, and when you do, you ruin your life. Accept their love. Be corrected. Gain knowledge and wisdom to live a satisfying, productive, happy life that is joyful and in God, in Christ. What it ought to be. Remember the three R's of youth. Rejoice in your youth. Remove sorrow from your heart. And remember God when you're young. God doesn't want you to ruin your life, whether you're in your teens, your 20s, or your 60s or 70s. He wants all of us to examine ourselves, whether we're in the faith. He wants us to remove the things that hinder effective, faithful living for God. That can begin right now in your life by becoming a Christian, by repenting of your sins against God, by confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. He will raise you to newness of life. A life now with hopeful anticipation of heaven. Making new choices day by day that please God. If you're Christian, there's sin in your life, repent of it. Come back to Him. Confess it to Him. He will forgive. Learn from His correction. Gain knowledge, insight, and wisdom to be faithful and true to Him. Won't you come? Always stand and listen.
Oh, Jesus.